Today, I'm going to do a great job. Today, I'm going to help people. Because excuse me. Oh, I didn't know you all were there. I'm trying to psych myself up. Today I'm going to help people because I am worth it. They are worth it. And doggone it, it's Bacon Bonanza Sunday. So today, Pastor Dan is going to end his sermon series on lies we tell ourselves. And it's gonna be a lot, like I'm sticking right now. It's about getting stuck. And I'm sure we've all been stuck before. Like one time my jacket got the zipper stuck and I couldn't get the zipper undone. So I pulled it over my head and then I couldn't get it past my shoulders. So I was just flailing around like one of those balloon men in front of the used car dealership. But is that what we're going to talk about? Oh. Well, that's okay. And today is going to be my last day, I believe. And I know that is sad. But it's okay. It's okay. Because we're going to get the sermon series from Dan here, Pastor Dan. And we're gonna hopefully learn something. And let's get back on track here. We're going to listen to what Pastor Dan has to say about getting stuck. And why should we listen to him? Repeat after me. Because I'm good enough. Because I'm smart enough. And doggone it, it's Bacon Bonanza Sunday.
Thank you, Justin, for the last 4 weeks of foolishness. I wanted you to know I brought my McDonald's glass this morning. Bacon. So welcome to the fourth and final week of our series, The Lies We Tell Ourselves. And the last 3 weeks we've been talking about the three different zones we can fall into. And we fall into these zones because we have painful things happen in our life that give us wounds. But more importantly than the wounds that we experience, it's that we start to form beliefs about ourselves to kind of deal with these wounds. But these are faulty ways of thinking and believing that propel us into one of these three other zones. So these reactions and these beliefs that we form kind of become barriers to living the spiritual life that God intends us to live. Even if those reactions happen when we were, say, 10 years old. So the first week we talked about zone number one, the I deserve zone. So many of us fall into this zone at different times. We tend to blame others for most of the woundedness and problems in our lives. It's their fault. They did this to me. And you start to come up with this, I am entitled thinking. I'm entitled to more in life than this. And we become fighters. We don't want to be wounded, so we're going to try to control things ourselves. We're going to try to be strong. But the problem is our dominant reaction in zone number one is pride and anger. And that becomes destructive to our spiritual life. And people in zone number one have a hard time forgiving others. And then sometimes even God. They want to hold on to that anger. They want to keep fighting against these people. And their spiritual life suffers because of it. The second week we talked about zone number two, the I am unforgivable zone. Zone number two, people know that they have done some bad things in their life and they can never live with that sense of guilt that they have done these things. And they kind of carry that weight with them at all times. It keeps them from flourishing. Life is just one bad reminder of how bad they are. They hate change. They cling to their safe little world. And zone number two, they don't so much have a hard time forgiving others or God. They have a hard time forgiving themselves. Because they deserve to be condemned for what they've done. And they just put all that burden on themselves. So last week we talked about the third zone, the I am less zone. I said this last week, but I'm going to read this quote again. Very bright people have been led to believe they are stupid. Respected people are led to believe they are unlovable. And gifted people led to believe they are failures. And these lies become embedded in these people. They don't feel so much bad about what they've done. It's deeper than that. They feel bad for just who they are. The I am less mentality about them. But if you carry that I am less, it keeps God from really doing something in you. You don't get to that flourishing zone. You don't get to change your identity because you always carry that shame with you. So those are the three zones we've talked about. In my Sunday school class this morning, some of us are starting to share, yeah, you know what? I do have some of that. I do have those insecurities. Probably most of us do. But we try to hide them. We try to push them away. So today I want to talk in general a little bit more about trying to get to that zone number four, that flourishing zone, and what keeps us in general from getting there from any of the other zones. It's not that the flourishing zone, the zone number four, is free of problems. We all have to kind of remind ourselves of that. We all want life to be perfect. And no matter what zone we're in, life is going to get hard at times, right? It's not so much that. But it does feel like sometimes we're not getting where God wants us to be. We're not experiencing the life that God wants us to live. We're not getting fully in zone four. John 10 says, the thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do you feel like life is in the full for you? Sometimes there's reasons why it's not. See, most Christians, I think, we've decided that there are different phases in life. So the first phase, of course, is being born. And then at some point, the second phase is we fall into sin. The third phase, hopefully, is you find and receive salvation for those sins. And then finally, you die and go to heaven. Now, some denominations, and I would argue the good ones anyways, will add one more to the list. After salvation and before death, we go through a process of sanctification. It's a good Wesleyan word, which basically means just becoming more like Christ. We preach a lot on this topic, and it's an important topic. But I'm beginning to think just maybe there's even another step in there that needs to take place. It's called the healing and freedom stage. Now, you might want to lump that into the sanctification phase, and I get why you'd want to make that in that same category. But it may demand its own little phase here. Because I think it's so important to understand the wounds that we have in our lives. And in this day and age, they're all over the place. They're worse now than they ever have been. With the amount of evil that is in this world, the amount of hardship we have to deal with, that we have wounds in our life that keep us from being free in Christ, that keep us from finding the fullness of life that God wants us to find. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We let ourselves be burdened again by slavery, even though we can know Christ. How crazy is that? So this is the area we've been addressing for the last 3 weeks. And I want to give you a larger perspective on why we find it so hard to change. So first of all, I want to talk about our minds and how I'm not an expert in how our mind works. I barely understand my own mind. I certainly don't understand my wife's mind. She doesn't understand mine either. But they tell us our subconscious does not really reason or judge. It just receives these suggestions at all times. Some even say that our subconscious controls over 90% of what we feel and do. Isn't that amazing? So every little seed of thought, good or bad, can send our mind a certain direction. However, our mind also can't understand, it can't keep living this psychotic type of life and go be bouncing here and bouncing there and keep jumping all around. So what it does is it forms a resistance to change. And it puts up walls for protection so that every little thing doesn't just bounce us this way and that way. So it will protect a belief or an action that is actually hurting you. It will tell you not to move and not to change, even though the place you're at is not where you should be. It creates a comfort zone, even in the midst of misery. Been there? Been there? Done that? So there's little motivation to change. Even though you hate where you're at, you don't really feel like changing to somewhere else. In some way or another, it tells you you can't change. Human beings are kind of trained to think that way. You know, there once was a strong belief that the 4-minute mile could never be broken. But in 1953, it was broken. Anybody know who it was? Bannister. And you know, in the next year, 60 other people broke it. Once our minds form a view of ourselves, it's difficult to change. But once it does change, it's like, oh, wow, I can change. And it's hard to move them from that sinner mentality to a saintly one. Again, we always have to know that we are a sinner. But sometimes we condemn ourselves to a life of misery when we don't understand what Christ did for us on the cross and how that truly transforms who we are. And we can see ourselves differently. Now, if you've received salvation in your life, it doesn't mean you get to go to the flourishing zone right away, does it? For some, it's a lifelong process. So here's another reason why I think we can get stuck. See, in our Western mindset, we tend to view life through a very humanistic, natural, and scientific lens. While a lot of things do fall into that category, we must be careful not to think that everything does. See, last spring, I preached my first sermon series on the spiritual warfare, and this has been a journey for me to kind of understand what I believe about all this. So I've been reading more about the subject, focusing on scriptures that deal with this area. And while it's very understandable that we can have doubts about things that we've never seen or touched or heard or smelled or tasted or whatever, the Bible seems pretty clear on this subject. Jesus was very aware of another realm beyond the physical one. I have never experienced that. But I've had missionary friends. I've had friends, authors I respect, which have seen and experienced the invisible realm. And one of the biggest conclusions that I made this last spring in the sermon series, and this is the foundation now for one of a basic beliefs I have, and not everybody is going to believe in this, and that's okay. I wouldn't say it's foundation to the Christian faith, but it's an important one. And now I carry this with me as like, this is central to what I believe. And I believe that evil and the demonic are rats feeding off the garbage in our lives. You know what your garbage is? It's the three other zones we've been talking about. It's those three other zones. It is not just your own insecurity. It's not just your own mind that play games with you, that tell you these lies. You now actually have an attack from an enemy whispering those things in your ear. Things like, you deserve better. Oh, you're too far gone. Oh, you shouldn't forgive them. Oh, you're not forgivable. You should never be forgiven. Or you are less than other people. You don't have the talent. You are a shame. You're better off staying in this zone where you know what to expect. It's the same voice that whispered to Adam and Eve, you can become like God if you eat from the tree. Genesis 3:5 says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You may or may not agree with these beliefs I have about evil. You don't have to. But if you treat the scriptures seriously, it's hard not to form some beliefs around this. I mean, the Bible tells us to put on the armor of God. Why would it tell us this if there was not an enemy out there attacking us? He warns us about the devil getting a stronghold in our lives. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. So, my friends, we've got some barriers. You ever wonder why sometimes it's like, oh, I know what's right. I know what this makes sense. I know I should follow Jesus. But I can't seem to change. There's a couple forces fighting against that. Your own mind and how it works sometimes makes change hard. And there's an enemy, I believe. Now, I want to say this very clearly. The enemy doesn't have anywhere close to the power of God. But if you're not allowing the power of God in your life, the enemy will find a foothold. And some of us, probably a lot of us, have footholds. Probably because even from things from when we were 10, we've never fully gotten over them. We've never fully accomplished the I am less or the I am unforgivable or I deserve mentality. And therefore, there's a foothold. Mother Teresa once said, there is a poverty of the soul in the West. I believe it. You know what else I believe? And I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this wherever I'm at, but there's a poverty of the soul in this part of New York. Too many people are living in darkness. Too many Christians are stuck living a life that is less than full. Not just talking about non-Christians here, talking about Christians. So that brings us to a couple last important questions. What is our church going to do about this? And then what are you specifically are going to do about it? First of all, this church will keep shouting, you're not alone. You are loved. You are a child of God. You are in a battle, but God can overcome. In fact, the cross says he already overcame. We will do short-term series like this last one. We will do long-term issues. That's why we've been stressing forgiveness so much. Because if you want to get rid of the garbage in your life, and remember, if you get rid of the garbage, the rats have nothing to feed off of. You want to get rid of the garbage? Maybe the number one thing you can do, ask God to forgive you. Forgive other people. Forgive God. And then forgive yourself. You want to get rid of the garbage in your life? That's the foundation of cleaning all that mess out. We offer programs in this church like Healing Journey, which is right now we try to give you a last 4 weeks a quick, you know, shot, you know, like a spiritual boost in this area. But if you really want to process this stuff, really get over the major humps in your life, we have a way for you to do that. And then we found a resource in our denomination a couple hours away, not even a couple hours, a little over an hour away, that is teaching us some things that may change our church. And this Saturday, we're going to offer our first workshop on the subject of healing power and spiritual warfare. So please don't make assumptions about this. And I realize this topic is all over the place for everybody. And it's like, whoa, where are we going? I mean, some people think, well, we've jumped in the deep end of the Pentecostal pool. Well, we may have dipped our toe in the water just a bit. But we're going to handle it in a very Wesleyan, methodical, safe way that's not going to get us into trouble. Come see for yourself. So now I go back to my little graph. You are not the most important thing in life, God is, but you are important. And you must see yourself correctly. And none of us are perfect in that way. And that's why we continually feed off the Word of God, and we come to church and we talk with one another, and we continually work on our beliefs and what we think about God and what we think about ourselves and what we think about each other. And if you think of yourself in the correct way, you will develop a perfect balance of authority and vulnerability in your life. And that's a hard place to be. Because some of us in our life have chosen the path of authority, but not vulnerability. And so pride and all these areas come quickly for us because we do not humble ourselves like we should. We manipulate God and then we start manipulating other people. Even Christians do this. However, if we go clear to the vulnerability side and we don't use God to have authority, we become limited. We become victims rather than victors in this battle. And my friends, we do have authority through Christ. We don't need to be scared of life or death or any other force out there. That is not what God's Word tells us. And so when we see ourselves with the right amount of authority and vulnerability, and we see God for who He is, life isn't perfect, life isn't free of problems, but we flourish. So today, we've been concluding our services the last 3 weeks, and we're going in a certain way, and we're going to do that in some ways similar, in some ways different today. In the way that it is similar is in this. During the worship song, and there, you can come forward to do that. We're actually going to do two worship songs today. And during the first worship song, you are welcome to come to the altar. And if you want someone to someone will volunteer to pray for you. Well, people come forward and pray with you silently or out loud as the worship team is singing. However, if you decide God's not calling you forward, I'm going to invite you to stay where you are. But if you have a family with you, first of all, if you have a family with you, I'd like you to, or I'd like you to pray for one another during this time. You don't, if you're not comfortable doing it out loud, you don't have to. But just hold hands, and one of you can whisper or, but you don't have to. You can just pray silently if you're not comfortable with that. And so there'll be whispering going on during the song. That's okay. There'll be people at the altar. That's okay. It's not going to be. It's going to be organized chaos. And so I want you to pray for one another and this getting to the flourishing zone and the wounds and all the different things we've been learning. So that your family, if you're a single person, if you don't have your or if you have a, don't have your family with you today, you have one of two choices. You can find a friend next to you, you can do it together, or just pray for your family members that aren't there, that aren't here with you today. Pray for cousins, whoever you want to pray for. And you can do this by yourself. But I would ask that you be praying for healing and wholeness for someone either next to you or someone in your life close to you. And I'll ask you to lead out in boldness with this a little bit. This isn't something, if we don't take charge of this area, if we don't go bold forward, we're just going to stay in that little zone. We're not going to break through those barriers that are so hard to break through. So after we get to the first song, which is going to be a little bit more relaxed and gentle, we're going to stand and we're going to sing and we're going to take the victory. We're going to sing out a victory that Christ has given us. And we're going to be able to sing with praise in the second song. Okay? So we're going to end this on a high note. After the At song is over, you can go and set up for Big Bonanza or go home. But the worship team will probably still play a little bit, and you're welcome to just kind of pray and worship as you desire. So, okay, now I've told you everything more than you wanted to know. I invite you to be in a prayer. You can come forward. You can whisper with your family or by yourself, and let us worship and pray together.